Welcome to the Vacation Home Help Podcast. I'm your host, John Andrew. I love short-term rentals. The vacation rental business is my game, and I've made it my mission to help hosts like you succeed. Here we cut through the noise with real talk, no fluff. Just proven strategies, tips, and stories that help you grow your business, boost your bookings, and build a lifestyle you love. So if you're ready to step up your game in the world of vacation rentals, you're in the right place. So let's grow together. Welcome back to the Vacation Home Help Podcast. I'm your host, John Andrew, and today we're diving into step three of my No BS framework to build a profitable short-term rental portfolio. This is macro to micro market selection, because if you buy in the wrong market or even on the wrong street, it's going to turn a deal from a cash cow into a cash drain, and you don't want that. So in the first section of this episode, we're going to talk about the macro market big picture. It's going to be about a four-minute section. We're going to talk about demand drivers, considering access, checking for seasonality curves, and what event calendars mean for the macro market. So first off, demand drivers. Think airports, theme parks, universities, national parks, beaches, and business hubs. What's the major demand factor for the market you're looking at? What's bringing people there? Why? What's the key reason why people are traveling to that destination? Is it a huge enough draw like Walt Disney World or a beach? Or is it something a little bit more off the beaten path? The demand driver is going to have a lot to do with the success you have as a short-term rental operator. It is actually everything. Location is everything. And if the location you choose doesn't have a strong enough magnet, it doesn't matter how nice your property is, you're just not going to have the occupancy that's going to make for an attractive rental property. So it doesn't mean just buy in tourist markets. It doesn't mean just buy in the most popular places, because on the flip side of that, most popular places, one, have the most competition, two, are the most expensive destinations. So that also factors into how profitable the rental is going to be, right? So just because it's a super popular destination doesn't mean it's going to immediately mean you're going to make a lot of cash flow per door. That's just not true. We're seeing that with the oversaturation of the Walt Disney World area in 2025. There's way too many properties, and the demand, even though Walt Disney World and Epic Universe Orlando is such a big draw, Central Florida has so many fun things to do, the demand just haven't kept pace with the supply. There's just an overabundance of supply of short-term rentals. So if you just looked at demand drivers, that would have led you down a really, really terrible path, because you would have said, you know, everyone goes to Disney every year. I'm going to buy that property. It's going to make me a ton of cash flow. Not always true. So it's one factor, but it's not the only factor. The next factor is access. Drive to versus fly to. Drive-to markets are usually more recession-resistant. If you need to fly to Puerto Rico, for example, you're flying to an island, and when people can't afford airfare or there's natural disasters like hurricanes, it's going to impact your results as a short-term rental operator. So drive-to markets are going to be safer, but it doesn't mean you should just buy in drive-to markets. It's just something to consider. Next is checking seasonality curves. Don't just look at the annual average, rental income, because that's not telling you the whole picture. What if a natural disaster actually takes out your most important season? What if you have the algae bloom and you're on the beach? That's going to have a big impact on whether tourists want to travel to the beach or not. So check your seasonality curves. Don't just look at annual averages, and study the occupancy rates by month. There's tons of tools that can help with this. For Walt Disney World area, for example, I use the wait times at Walt Disney, like how long people are waiting for the mine train ride, because it's one of the most popular ones. So I'll look at data from the amusement park lines and their occupancy levels and their crowd levels to see how the broader market area is doing. You could also use tools like Price Labs. I'm not endorsing them, but they also will have seasonality curves and data you can look at to study occupancy by month. And then you have event calendars. Event calendars, think major sports teams, Super Bowl. In Central Florida, we have what's called the ESPN Wide World of Sports, and we have cheerleading teams and different sports teams that actually travel there to do their competitions. It brings tons of groups. We get tons of group bookings because of that. Just every year, same time, there's a competition and sports teams come into town, and it really drives occupancy because the people playing the sport are traveling, the athletes are traveling, and all of the people who support the athletes, the fans, the families, the friends, all need somewhere to stay and they need accommodation. So look for those event calendars for major sports teams or sporting events. festivals. Like if you're into electronic music, you got EDC in Orlando, or if you are thinking more of longs of like pop and stuff, when you're out west, you have Coachella, you have country music festivals. There's tons of things to do in Nashville all year round. So it depends where you're at, but there's going to be different festivals and conventions that can spike your average daily rate. And that's going to play into your overall annual rental income projections. You can't predict the future. We don't have a crystal ball, but you can forecast when major events are coming because major events are advertised months, several months in advance. So you can create an event calendar of your own to make sure that your pricing and your projections are set appropriately and not rely on dynamic pricing tools to do this. While they are really good at identifying events, sometimes they're a little late on doing that. And I've seen a lot of misses with dynamic pricing tools. For example, the Bad Bunny concert in Puerto Rico, it really didn't price the rentals right until the last minute. And by then, people already booked up the properties at extremely low rates. So you need to create your own event calendar. Don't rely on smart pricing. Don't rely on dynamic pricing tools to do this for you. But part of being a smart operator is doing this research and due diligence so you know how that event calendar is going to impact your market. That's what makes us professionals. We talked about macro market factors. So let's talk about the micro market. Think street level. Zoom into neighborhoods on the Airbnb map or on Google Maps. You can see on the Airbnb calendar where short-term rentals are more abundant and look at the drive times to the main attractions. You don't want to be more than 10 to 15 minutes max from a main attraction. We have so many hosts that say they're close to Disney World, but they're out in Haines City, like 35, 40 minutes away from Disney World, and it's not close. And it's kind of deceiving saying I'm minutes from Disney when you're like an hour away, right? So make sure the drive times to the main attraction are 10 to 15 minutes max. And noise and parking is a big one. When there's new construction, especially in Florida, there's the house that's complete, that's finished, but next to it, there's all this construction going on. And guests need to know, honestly, if there's construction going on, because they will complain about it. They see great pictures of the house. They get super stoked, super excited to stay with you. And next door, there's a bunch of construction workers yelling and hammering and nails into walls and all sorts of things, working. And it's really going to upset them and frustrate them. And their experience isn't going to be ideal, right? It's not going to be a great guest experience. So make sure that the noise and parking reality is not way off, because you don't want to buy into that kind of situation, because it's really going to hurt your rental income numbers until they finish construction. And in Miami, for example, parking is horrible. It's horrendous. It's so hard to find parking in Miami. So if you have a place that sleeps 12, but there's only street parking for one, or not even one, maybe they get towed if they don't park in a nearby parking garage, that's a big problem. You want parking to be easy, and you don't want to be responsible for towed cars. So make sure that the noise and parking reality is not super difficult, because if you have this great property, but there's no parking and there's a lot of noise, it's really going to hurt your results. Now let's talk about curb appeal. Your thumbnails matter in OTA searches. When you search on Airbnb or you search on verbobooking.com, if you don't have that photo, that thumbnail that pops showing your house and the beach in the back or the view from your living room of the ocean, maybe you don't have those things, but you have a thumbnail of your amazing pool area and patio or this awesome game room that's all themed out. If you don't have that, it's not going to make for a really attractive listing. Now, if your location, if you picked it at the micro market level and it actually has curb appeal, you want to show that. I would actually target properties that have this curb appeal. And curb appeal doesn't just have to be on the beach. It could be in an urban area that's super close to the metro or in a super pretty street with lots of trees and lots of vegetation. So whatever curb appeal your property has, you definitely want to highlight that. And try to, one, look for a property with curb appeal in the first place. But when you do find your curb appeal, make sure you're highlighting it when you actually make your list. When you're looking at prospective short-term rentals, your acquisition targets, make sure that your true comp set is apples to oranges. Make sure you're looking at properties of similar bed, bath count, style, and amenities. So you're not comparing totally different properties to each other. Because when you're comparing numbers in terms of an investment, in the quantitative side of things and not just the qualitative side of things, you want to make sure you're comparing apples to apples and not apples to oranges. So bucket each of your targets. So if you're looking at four bedroom properties in a certain neighborhood, make sure that that's in one bucket and being compared to each other And if you're looking at condos as well, put that in a separate comp set bucket. So you're comparing those numbers to similar comparable units, not comparing the two-bedroom condo on a totally different street to the four-bedroom single-family home. They need to be apples to apples when you're comparing for an investment decision. When you're making a financial decision, always compare apples to apples. Now, my top 10 rule is focus on the top 10 performers in your micro market and reverse engineer whatever they're doing, because whatever they're doing is working. And you don't want to reinvent the wheel. You want to add your own spin, your own taste, your own zest to your listing, but you don't want to reinvent the wheel. Focus on those top 10 performers. You can find them on tools like Price Labs, on Beyond. You can use Airbnb and hammer down who has the best rates and the most reviews. You can create your list of the top 10 performers in your area, people you and hosts you really look up to, and take inspiration from them and make that your list. Then reverse engineer all of the great things you're doing and then put your own spin on it. So here are my guardrail reminders. Just don't chase cheap properties in the wrong locations. You will regret it. Always look for something you're going to be proud of, because you'll pour your passion into it. Don't just look for cheap properties hoping to make a quick buck, because been there, done that, you don't want to do it. It's just going to be a time-wasting thing. And if don't do anything if you're not going to do it to the fullest. Just stay away from that. A perfect property in a dead-end micro market is going to underperform a mediocre property in the right zone. Location is paramount. Even a mediocre property in the right street is going to do better. So make sure that you're not looking at a dead-end micro market. And proximity and positioning is going to beat everything else. We've all heard this before. Location, location, location. To make your short-term rental location process easier, create a heat map of the A zones inside your chosen macro market. Then build a comp set of 10 to 15 best performers in your micro market. These are going to become your reference points for underwriting and design decisions. So that's step three of the No BS framework, macro to micro market selection. If you nail this step, you'll always be shopping in the right neighborhoods. If you want more tips like this, follow me on Facebook and Instagram at The John Andrew. I post content you can use to grow your short-term rental business. And if you love that sweet SDR income, but you don't want the headaches of midnight guest messages, cleaning issues, or setting your pricing, check out my flat fee co-hosting service. You keep control of your listing and payouts, and I handle the rest. Head to the show notes or grab a time with me on my calendar, and let's get to talking. On the next episode, we'll tackle building a deal pipeline and how to keep a steady flow of opportunities coming your way. Stay tuned.